Filling your prescription for freedom and giving you a voice every week. This is Armed American Radio, coming to you from the Crossbreed Holster Studios. Now, here's Mark Walters.
In those Crossbreed Holster Studios, we're going to jump right into it. First of all, welcome back, all of you Walking Dead and football fans. It's great to have you guys here. I'm a Walking Dead fan and a football fan, too, so I get it. I just have to watch it a little bit later than you do. And then you get to listen to this recording. I can't listen to the recording because I have to give you the recording. So it's great to be here with you. If you are just joining me for this hour of Armed American Radio today, in the previous hour, I was talking with my political analyst, Armed American Radio, Washington, D.C.'s editor, Neil McCabe, who is also an on-air television reporter for One American News Network. You can watch him over at OANN if you have it on your cable or satellite provider. If not, call them and ask for it so that you can watch Neil's stuff over at that great new network, giving you the truth about the stories and not spinning it the way the liberal media does. That's always special and important. And we were talking with John Lott. And John, of course, the Fox News contributor, famed economist, author of More Guns, Less Crime, was discussing with us Bloomberg and how the money was being spent, and we were talking a little bit about the Virginia election, and one of the points that John was making was important about Bloomberg and where and how he is spending his money, and I asked if he would stay over and bleed over into this hour for a couple of moments into this segment, and he has agreed to do that for just a couple minutes. I want to let him finish that thought, and then I wanted to set that up for you. John Lott, welcome back to the program. Thank you for sticking with me. You were talking about Bloomberg and how and where he was spending his money, and really in the context of Virginia. I'd appreciate it if you could go on. I think listeners need to understand what in fact we're up against.
Sure. Look, Bloomberg, I believe, understands this is just not a purely political battle. You have to win on the intellectual arguments here, or at least convince people that their dangers of owning guns outweigh the benefits. And I think if you look over the last couple decades, kind of the support for gun control generally reached its peak around the late 1990s, and it's been falling since then. But one of the things that's explained the fall, I believe, has been people believe that guns make them safer much more than they used to. If you look at a poll from Gallup, for example, in 2000, only about 35% of Americans thought that owning a gun in the home made them safer. Last December, the same Gallup poll had it at 63%. That's a massive change, and you see that in a range of different types of polls that ask people whether owning a gun in general, whether concealed carry, whether having more people in the neighborhood owning guns make them safer versus making things riskier. All those questions, they become much more positive in terms of people owning guns. And I think Bloomberg realizes that they have to change that perception. I mean, I think the perception's right, and we've talked a lot about the research that indicates that. And so there's a couple things Bloomberg's doing. One is spending a lot of money funding a lot of studies that are out there, and they're going to be coming out this next year. There's basically going to be a tidal wave of these types of studies that come out. And secondly, to train journalists to, in his view, properly cover this issue. And so he's working with prestigious places like the Columbia School of Journalism to bring in journalists to basically get one side of the issue there. It kind of reminds me a little bit of the discussions with global warming that, you know, you should only really cover one side of the issue because only one side of the issue is credible. And I think that's basically what they want to try to do with in the gun debate. And so it's just not spending a lot of money on the politics, but I don't know. I think that's one reason why the Crime Prevention Research Center is around, too, because I don't think there's anybody else that can go and do battle to try to make sure that accurate numbers are put together on the benefits and costs of people owning guns. And I worry that misinformation there, if it scares people unjustifiably into not owning guns, actually makes things riskier for them, that there are certain groups of people, whether they be people who are relatively weaker physically, women, the elderly, or be people who are most likely to be victims of violent crime. For example, disproportionately poor blacks who live in high-crime urban areas. If you exaggerate the risks in their minds to them owning guns and get them so that they don't own guns, you're going to have more people who are going to die as a result of crimes than otherwise would have been the case.
And that's why it's so important, John, that the crime research, crimeresearch.org address gets out there, and the work that you're doing, and why shows like this have the ability to give you a voice. It's and you do. You get a lot of media, but we need to give you as much as we can possibly give you to counter what is clearly a blitzkrieg coming from Bloomberg and the rest of them. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned the climate change. Bill Nye, the science guy, is out in a piece in Salon, and it was just coincidence that I actually have this in front of me. And here's how he does it. And listen to this question from Salon, and then we'll cut you loose. Let's talk a bit about anti-science demagoguery. You have a charming way of cutting people down when they're talking nonsense, and I think you'll agree there are a lot of people who simply refuse to believe in what is, in what the data tells us. What do you say to those who insist that climate change is a hoax or some grand liberal scheme? And here's his response. Well, I just chip away. I believe that if we just chip away at the science deniers, they will come around. And that is their strategy. John Lott, Crime Research Prevention Center, crimeresearch.org. Mr. Lott, thank you so much for everything you do. We're going to continue to push people over towards your site and ask to help out, okay?
All right. Thanks very much. Have a good evening.
Thank you, John. You too. Wow. Powerful stuff. Neil McCabe, welcome back to the program. We wanted to let John finish that thought because it was so important that people understand exactly what we're up against. Just to give you one take. And I also want to go to David Kodria, who's on the line. David, welcome to the show, brother. We're going to keep you an extra segment if you can stay.
Sure.
Good. Glad to have you. Something that Alan Gottlieb of the Second Amendment Foundation said in the first two segments of the program, he believes Bloomberg's $50 million will be over $100 million spent from his own pocket by the time the 2016 election day rolls around. Neil, that's a ton of dough.
And it's absolutely doable, and it's absolutely within line of what other liberals have done. I'm sure people listening are familiar with Tom Steyer, who pledged $50 million of his own money and arranged, bundled, and collected another $50 million to wage war against the Keystone Pipeline. He had a meeting with President Obama. He said, if you don't block the Keystone Pipeline, me and my millionaire friends aren't going to support Democratic causes. And lo and behold, Keystone is no more. And so if I'm Bloomberg and I watch how Tom Steyer and these other people stop the Keystone, I'm saying, okay, that's the model I'm going to follow.
Keystone is dead for now, but it won't be for long. Keystone Pipeline will be built. David Kodria, a pleasure to have you here. This is going to be a great conversation. Lots of things to talk about with you, including some follow-up on the gun porn conversation that you and I had last week on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. I've spoken to a lot of people about that gun porn conversation, David, and it's really interesting. While one or two people have heard it, most haven't, including Neil. And Neil, you actually liked the idea, didn't you?
Yeah, of course.
Gun porn. David,
who wouldn't think about bringing some gun porn with them when they went for 2 weeks to Boy Scout camp?
That's a great point. David, jump in.
Well, you know, Mark, I guess I kind of have a problem with, and I've seen that some people on our side do use the terminology, And to me, it trivializes the argument, but where CBS really absolutely showed their bias is treating what some people who are into the hardware and like looking at the pictures of the hardware and treating that like real pornography, to where you're
right,
getting some kind of salacious gratification out of it, which is absolutely, they're making that up out of the whole cloth. They're making kind of a make fun of type nickname into all these guys are wearing trench coats and you know, it's horrible, Mark, and that is what they're trying to do, is say that self-defense and the right to keep bare arms and the right to have freedom, this is a vice, and that is something that we really have to be cautious against, because I have seen serious people, not serious in terms of real people, but a professor. Okay, so he has academic gravitas, talking about treating guns and gun literature like pornography. I called him the smutty professor. Okay.
Hey, David, we're getting ready to take a break. Let's stop right there on the smutty professor. I actually went to Kroger's. You know, Kroger, CBS in the report David and I are talking about did a hit piece on a number of grocery stores who sell gun magazines, guns and ammo, personal defense magazines, guns magazine, the one that David writes for example, and actually went undercover at Kroger's supermarket to find out where they hid it on the shelves and kept it away from kids. And then they found out it wasn't hidden, and they couldn't believe themselves. Armed American Radio continues with David Kodria and Neil McKay right after this.
Has this ever happened to you? You walk into a gun store, and by the time you walk out, you feel about 3 inches tall. All because the guy behind the counter made you feel like an idiot just because you didn't know some of the special gun terminology or what the latest product was. Well, let Concealed Carry Magazine be your crash course on everything and anything armed self-defense. So the next time you walk into that gun store, you'll walk out with your head held high. As soon as your first issue arrives, you'll find yourself immersed in unbiased gun and gear reviews and real stories from real people who carry concealed every day. You'll quickly realize Concealed Carry Magazine isn't your cookie-cutter publication, but in fact, it's a wealth of vital information you need to stay up to date and prepared. As a special bonus, if you activate your subscription today, you'll be entered to win one of four brand new handguns. Simply go to oneoffourguns.com right now to activate your subscription and secure your entry to win. Hurry though, this offer won't last long. That's the number one of the number four guns.com.
Hi, it's Mark, and I hope you're enjoying this week's broadcast. You know, over the last several weeks, you've heard me mentioning a website, usccaonair.com. We have some amazing sponsors here on this program, and one of them, the United States Concealed Carry Association, helped create this program. Since that time, just like Armed American Radio, the USCCA has exploded in growth to become the nation's number one resource for the responsibly armed citizen. The USCCA has also become famous for their promotions, as if you needed more incentive to join the United States Concealed Carry Association. Free guns, thousands of dollars in merchandise, and free ammunition, etc. to lucky promotion winners. You too can win by simply visiting the website usccaonair.com. usccaonair.com. That site is reserved for you as an Armed American Radio listener to keep you updated on their latest promotions. Now, I'll tell you about the promos on every program, but you can still check for yourself by visiting usccaonair.com. Don't miss out.
As people who carry a gun for protection, you and I both know if we're ever forced to pull that trigger, you know your life will change instantly. Liberal prosecutors, bleeding heart juries, they'd love to make examples of people like you and me, and that's why I rely on the legal and financial backup plan with my membership in the United States Concealed Carry Association, the USCCA. They have a guide that will arm you with 18 proven strategies for effective self-defense, helping you stay out of jail, out of bankruptcy, court, and home with your family if you're forced to defend your loved ones with a gun. So if you go to defendfamily.com right now, you can download this free concealed carry guide from my friends at the USCCA. Now, the guide is 100% free, and the 18 strategies it contains could very well save your life. Simply visit defendfamily.com, download your 100% free guide, defendfamily.com. Again, that's defendfamily.com.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
upcoming segment of AAR is sponsored by the USCCA Education and Training Department. For your own toolkit or to become a certified instructor, visit teachuscca.com. That's teachuscca.com.
Sitting in these Crossbreed Holster studios with you, how you doing today? Wrapping up Armed American Radio's monster weekend broadcast, getting ready to head into the week with you on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Can you really talk about this stuff for an hour every week? Is what my mom asked me years ago when we first started doing Armed American Radio with you. And that was at that time, Armed American Radio was a one-hour program heard inside the perimeter of the Beltway, inside the 285 Beltway around Atlanta at that time. And through the magic of technology, of course, people could listen all over the country on their smartphones or computers and whatever devices they had. And the program exploded to this three-hour monster broadcast now on, 160-plus radio stations across the country, tons of cable outlet cities, hundreds of them, Apple TV, I think, Roku, and I have Apple TV. I have to figure out how that works, I don't know. But thanks to you for making it happen and all of our great sponsors. And Boston 1260, The Buzz, I think, is one of our newest affiliates up there. Fun to be up there in Beantown with you. I'm talking with David Kodria. David, how you doing, brother?
Well, we're getting a little cold here. I was raking leaves today. Got to do a little bit more tomorrow because the truck comes by to pick them up, and I want to get it all out before the rain.
I burned mine, but it is cold, and you sent it down this way. We got that first cold snap this year so far, and it did get a little bit nippy down here south of the Mason-Dixon line down in Georgia. Bless your heart. Neil McCabe, Boston listeners, I know, are loving hearing your accent, brother. I know they are. It's hard for you to hide it.
You know, somebody said to me during the week that if the Redskins beat the Patriots, that he was going to really rub it in. And I said, if the Redskins beat the Patriots, I'm going to tell everyone to buy gold because the world is going to end.
Yeah, go look out the window. Pigs are flying across your across your field of view right now if the Washington Redskins beat the Patriots, and they did not. So,
I do want to just tag on to something that John Lott was talking about. I was at both of his press conferences, but at the second press conference that Speaker Paul D. Ryan had, a reporter asked him, talked about all the gun deaths and all, laying out all the statistics, and he says, isn't it about time that Congress lifts the ban on the Center for Disease Control researching shootings and guns as a sort of as a health problem? And Speaker Ryan did say that he supported fully the Second Amendment and that he saw no way that that was going to happen while he was Speaker of the House. Now, I mention that because last week we did talk about Congressman Ryan being weak on gun rights. So Speaker Ryan at least is setting the tone early. But it plays to what John Lott was talking about with the sort of the setting up of these studies that gives that sort of intellectual academic veneer to these anti-gun rights arguments. And certainly anything coming out of the Center for Disease Control under this administration is going to be as bought and paid for as a tobacco company doing their tobacco studies. I mean, so I just mentioned that just to let people know that this is a real thing that John Lott is talking about. Like John is completely plugged in to where the game is being played.
Yeah, he is. And God bless him. He's a national treasure for doing what he does. His research just simply can't be refuted. They try as they might, but they wind up lowering themselves to the personal attacks. David Kodria, let me jump over to you. Rasmussen is out with this. Let me give you the headline. Voters doubt sincerity of politicians who raise gun issues. And this popped out on November 4th, just a few days ago. Republicans rate gun issues more important to their vote than others do, but there's a great deal of skepticism among all voters about politicians who raise gun-related issues. 77%, according to Rasmussen, of likely U.S. voters, and that matters, likely U.S. voters, believe most politicians raise gun issues just to get elected rather than to address real problems. A new Rasmussen Reports national survey, telephone survey, finds only 11% think most have real problems in mind, while another 11% are undecided. 38% think politicians discuss gun-related issues too little, but 31% say they discuss them too much, and 24% feel the level of discussion of gun issues about right. 62% of who Democrats think there is too little discussion on gun issues, just 27% of Republicans and 23% of voters not affiliated with either major political party. I call them, those aren't I's for independence anymore, I call them Q for questioning. David, does any of that shock you?
No, it doesn't shock me at all. But then again, I'm not real big on polls aside from just being able to test the waters and see where the public is to maybe know where pressure needs to be applied and where more education needs to be done. Because I view most polls as like this guy, Mark Dice, who does the beach interviews, kind of like the old Jay Leno man on the street.
Right,
interview.
Right.
And the average person who only gets information from the mainstream media is so ignorant about what the true issues are that if you were to question a certain way and use the right buzzwords, you can pretty much guarantee the results that you're going to be getting back. When you ask people of Democrat affiliation, they're going to be ideologically predisposed to giving a pro-gun control answer. And I think that politicians from both parties mention guns in order to get votes, so that you'll have the anti-gun Democrats, you know, saying, I'm trying to think of the name I just wrote about her, this congresswoman from New York who wants to do a $100 tax on each gun and a $1,000 fine if you don't report your gun stolen within 48 hours. And everybody's making a big to-do about this, except that if you go to GovTrack, the legislative tracking website, you see that this bill has a 1% chance of getting out of committee and a 0% chance of being enacted. She knows this, so this is merely to get headlines. And the same token on the Republican side. You'll see somebody say, well, I support the Second Amendment, but they will not then specify and define and give unequivocally exactly what that means. Okay, so you get it on both sides of the aisle.
No, you definitely do. Great point. Washington Post, the Washington Post, of course, the mainstream media being Washington Post, New York Times, L.A. Times, Chicago Tribune, ABC, NBC, CBS, and you can throw in the 24-hour news cycles as well. You want to throw in Fox, CNN, and the rest of them, the big bought and paid for mainstream press. The Post, they're working in overtime, as is the New York Times right now, with the anti-gun diatribe. And the Post has had just a number of pieces over the last week, David. I think I covered a good three or four of them over the last two or three days at the end of that of last week on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. One of them in particular I'll set up now. When we come back, I want to get both your perspective and I want to get Neil's perspective on this because it's critical. And this is the narrative. This is controlling the masses by controlling the media. Controlling the media, you control the message. Control the message, you then control the masses. This is Propaganda 101, and you just alluded to it, David, so it's a great opportunity to kind of lead into it. Does the phrase gun control hurt the push for new gun laws? This is from the Washington Post. Just how loaded is the phrase gun control to Americans? And they talk about a Quinnipiac University poll, but we'll discuss this piece because this is how they do exactly what David was telling you. Controlling the narrative by asking the questions and phrasing it in ways they know they can get to you back right after this.
WWTC Minneapolis, St. Paul.
Passing down generational skill sets and knowledge is part of what made this country great. We need to get back to that. I'm pastor and businessman David Mitchell. Join me and my team for a two-day training event where we share the skill sets I learned from my grandfather. I've used these skill sets to generate wealth for my own family so that I never had to take a salary from the church. We will teach you the same powerful short-term trading strategies as well as longer-term investment strategies. That way you can pass the skill sets down through several generations of your own family and help get this country back on track. New venture on Wall Street. Build your legacy.
Coming to the Minneapolis Marriott West, November 20th and 21st. Only $99.95 for your entire household, plus a free ticket for a friend and full money-back guarantee. To register, call 877-907-TRADE. That's 877-907-8723. Or go to nvows.com. That's nvows.com.
Are you considering sending your child to a private school? I'm sure you've heard about our half-off tuition program, but do you really know how it works? AM 1280 The Patriot partners with Twin Cities Schools to give new students the first year's tuition at half the cost. It's that simple. Go to am1280thepatriot.com, click on deals, and you'll see all the schools involved in this great program, or ask the school you'd like to work with to call us to become a partner. 651-405-8800. 651-405-8800.
Hi, this is Terry Sandvold, CEO of Sandvold & Associates Financial Services Group and host of Money Talks here every weekend. When it comes to your financial future, are you confident about it? Call us at 952-544-2837 for a no-cost financial review to be really ready for retirement, or go to helpmeterry.com. That's helpmeterry.com.
Registered representative of and independent of Questar Capital Corporation, member FINRA SIPC. Advisory services offered through Questar Asset Management.
Hi, it's Keith Hittner Sr. here. Tune in on Sundays at noon for your Real Estate Chalk Talk, where we study the science of buying and selling real estate and the art of living in your home.
Get the solid real estate facts you need from Keith Hittner Sr. and Keith Hittner Jr. of Coldwell Banker Burnett and their team of experts. Tune in to Real Estate Chalk Talk on AM 1280 The Patriot every Sunday at 12 noon. Brought to you by the Hittner Group, the number one Coldwell Banker Group in the nation. Online at HittnerGroup.com. And tune in to Real Estate Chalk Talk every Sunday at 12 noon on AM 1280 The Patriot.
What's your favorite part of the season? The leaves changing color in the fall? That first beautiful coating of snow? Or maybe the fact that your basement water problems seem to go into hibernation? Out of sight, out of mind? But did you know that ignoring a wet, moldy basement can put your family's health at risk? This is John Lamore of Advanced Waterproofing, reminding you that mold and radon gases do not hibernate, even when the telltale signs of water problems seem to go away in winter. We're experts at diagnosing and solving basement water problems, and our comprehensive repairs will allow you to finish your basement and forget you ever had a water problem. That's what we like to call peace of mind. At Advanced Waterproofing, we offer discount pricing for interior repairs done in the winter months. So call today for a free estimate and look forward to a dry basement this spring.
Call Advanced Waterproofing, 952-562-8100, or online at advancedwaterproofing.net.
The Stockwell Roche Show is here to touch on all things real estate while being witty, lively, and refreshing.
It's a tough job, but somebody's got to do it.
Join Jason Stockwell and Josh Roche every Sunday here on The Patriot, Sunday at 10 a.m. as we dive into
apartments, the condo comeback, and how to make money leasing property and buying rentals. There's still time. Tune in.
The Stockwell Roche Show, this and every Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on The Patriot.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
In the Crossbreed Holster Studios, welcome back to the program. This piece from the Washington Post is, of all the pieces we covered last week on the daytime show, and I think of anything we've talked about on this program in a decent amount of time, is one of the most important pieces I've seen. This lays out, really, the roadmap for you, the direction the anti-gunners, the gun prohibitionists, the un-Americans, I call them, the gun control jihadis, are taking to get into your mind. This is a very, very important piece. Far more important than that sleazeball in Virginia, Terry McAuliffe, taking on a three-month deal with Andy Parker, the disgraceful father, dancing in his daughter's blood to push his own political agenda so he can hopefully get elected one day again. That's this guy's MO. The whole country's on to him. He's been silenced since Virginia shellacked him and shut him up as well. Thank God. But Terry McAuliffe is different than the governor using something for 2 or 3 months for political expediency. This piece lays it out. Again, the title of this piece is, Does the Phrase Gun Control Hurt the Push for New Gun Laws? What this does in a nutshell is discusses how the gun prohibitionists, the un-Americans, will phrase things differently and use polling to come up with the right terminology to get into your head. Take a listen to this. And this is, it's disturbing, but incredibly important, because this is the long-term goal of the un-Americans. If Americans are indeed circumspect about the word, meaning gun control, we offer two potential, not mutually exclusive reasons why. Number one, Americans like their guns, and most would agree it's our constitutional right to own them. A 2008 Washington Post poll showed that 72% of Americans thought the Second Amendment, which reads, a well-regulated militia being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms, shall not be infringed, protects individual, and that's emphasized in the piece, individuals' rights as well as militia's rights to own guns. And number two, Americans appear pessimistic about whether gun laws can help stop mass shootings. According to a recent Washington Post ABC News poll, they blame the nation's inability to address mental health issues rather than inadequate gun control laws for mass shootings by a nearly 3-to-1 margin, 63% to 23%. The language a new generation, pay very careful attention to this, the language a new generation of gun control advocates are adopting suggest that they're aware of the potential effect, quote-unquote, gun control has on Americans. Now take a listen to the last line of this piece. But if there's a growing consensus that gun control is on its way out, the next question for advocates is, what gun law terminology will resonate with gun-loving Americans? Neil, they've just laid out their long-term plans. Give me your opinion on what you just heard.
I think that it's very interesting that they're willing to blame their lack of political success on the words. I remember I was a younger man, but when Walter Mondale lost to Ronald Reagan, the first thing he said to the reporter afterwards was, I just wasn't good enough on television, as if Reagan was just a better TV guy than Walter Mondale and had nothing to do with anything else. I think that the words are very important. I think that we saw that in the Clinton administration, they were very good at phrasing things so that they sounded one way, even though they were going the other way. We certainly know in Saul Alinsky, his book Rules for Radicals, he tells the community organizers, you must use the conservatives' language, use their words, use their phrases, so that they think that what you're talking about is what they agree with. I'm not surprised by the word games, but I think it's more than words are the reason why they're losing.
Great point. David Kodria, I couldn't wait to ask you this question. And having heard that and Neil's response, please give us your wisdom on this. This lays it out.
Well, this isn't really news, though, because how many years ago was it that Handgun Control, Inc. changed its name to the Brady Campaign? Or the National Coalition to Ban Handguns changed their name to whatever the heck Josh and Ladd are calling themselves these days to mask their true agenda to create a state monopoly of violence? Seizing the terms is paramount. And I'll tell you what, our side can do it too. A great guest to have on that topic would be Alan Corwin. I had a chance to talk with him out in the hallway during the Arizona Citizens Defense League meeting that we went to earlier, and he's a big proponent of using the proper terminology. But I think Neil also has an excellent point that it's not just the words and the presentation and the imagery, although those are important, particularly as the public continues to be more or less like Mark Dice interview subjects, but the actual ideas matter, and people who can think know that the ideas matter, and that's why you see them desperately coming up with terms like common sense gun safety measures. Right. And who really, you know, is the premier gun safety organization in the world? It's our friends in Fairfax. Who teaches more gun safety?
Yeah, you're right on the money with it. That's exactly the direction we went with this on Friday's broadcast when I covered this for the hour. I felt this was extremely important because anybody who knows me knows my disdain for the media. I'm on to their game, you're on to their game, and you, the listener, are on to their game. Neil, you're on to their game. We all know that this is propaganda 101, and laying it out in Saul Alinsky's Rules for Radicals was right smack on the money. David, what that last sentence should have read is, what gun law terminology will we use to trick the headline surfers? Because they believe and understand that some of us are stupid, ignorant, and just flat out don't give a damn. And those are the people they're trying to reach. And if they can flip a few of them by using gun safety instead of gun control. And by the way, Josh and Ladd, the boneheads that you're talking about are the CSGV, Coalition to Stop Gun Violence, is what they changed their name to.
How long have they been around and how much gun violence have they stopped?
They've been around a long time, and they have stopped no gun violence. My question to them, I know they've listened to this broadcast because they were tweeting during my show at one point about what they were hearing. They didn't like it. My question to them is, why aren't you in Chicago? My question to all of them, quite honestly, is why aren't you in Chicago? The next story I want to talk with you guys about is a terrible one out of Chicago, and that is the 9-year-old boy who was lured into an alley and executed by a gang member, clearly in retaliation to what we now know, more than likely, is his father's gang affiliate, the 9-year-old father's gang affiliation, who is now silent and, according to the Chicago PD, is not cooperating. My response to that is he should be put in prison with his son dead simply because he won't cooperate. That's my opinion. However, I understand the rules of innocent until proven guilty and self-incrimination and everything else. However, this is not a human being in my book when you're talking about a 9-year-old boy and you're going to shut your mouth rather than name the name. That's just pathetic. That's not a man. But we stop that part of the conversation right now. But when we come back from the break, guys, what I want to do is find out why the left is so silent on this, when even Jerry McCarthy called it what it was, gang violence, guys. You never hear him talk about that. He's always blaming you and I and that David, as we call it, that phony iron pipeline moving from the South into the city of Chicago. Now he's naming the root cause of the problem, gang violence. Where is Josh Horowitz? Where is Shannon Watts? Where is Mike Bloomberg? Where the hell is Obama on this? When we come back, we'll get the opinions of these two guys, Neil McCabe, Armed American Radio's DC editor, and the great writer at guns.com, David Codrio, waronguns.com. You and I both know concealed carry is a serious subject, and being prepared to protect your family when it matters most means more than just being a good shot at the range. And that's why 135,000 of your fellow responsibly armed Americans already read Concealed Carry Magazine from cover to cover, including my columns. A subscription to Concealed Carry Magazine isn't just an entire year of unbiased gun and gear reviews. It's so much more. It's real stories from real people who carry concealed every single day, just like you and I. It's life-saving information that'll keep you up to date and prepared. And most importantly, it'll help you be ready and confident to protect your family if you're ever faced with a life or death situation. Begin your subscription today, and not only will you be looking forward to a full year of America's number one publication for responsibly armed citizens, but you'll also automatically be entered to win one of four brand new guns. But this offer won't last long, so go to oneofourguns.com. That's the number one and the number four, oneofourguns.com, to activate your subscription and claim your chance to win your dream gun. Again, that's oneofourguns.com.
From Crossbreed Holsters comes the Women's Appendix. With softer leather and smoother corners, the Women's Appendix holster was designed specifically with the female body in mind. This holster is intended for popular small firearms and has no cant, so it can be worn on the front side of the body. Featuring a crossbreed hand-molded pocket for a perfect fit, we ensure the Women's Appendix is your answer for any woman who wants to carry a small firearm in a front position. This versatile holster can be worn in the standard appendix or cross-draw fashion. Find your perfect fit today at crossbreedholsters.com.
The Magnum Research Baby Desert Eagle family of handguns. Excellent handgun protection with plenty of firepower. With a crisp double-action, single-action trigger pull. And available in 9mm, 40 Smith & Wesson, and 45 ACP. The Baby Desert Eagle handgun line comes in several barrel lengths. And your pick of steel or polymer frame. All models come with slide-mounted decocking safety, upgraded fixed combat sights, and several models feature tactical rails. Visit MagnumResearch.com or your local dealer today. Emerson Knives is the first company completely dedicated to producing knives for self-defense, law enforcement, and military applications. The Emerson CQC-7 is the most influential tactical folder of all time. Carried in places not found on any roadmap, the CQC-7 should be carried whether you're at a movie with your family or kicking in doors in Iraq. The CQC-7 is on duty with the select few who have known the chaos of conflict. For your own CQC-7, visit EmersonKnives.com. That's EmersonKnives.com.
The revolutionary Crossbreed Super Tuck holster is the most comfortable and concealable inside the waistband holster you'll ever wear, and nothing even comes close. Designed to completely conceal a firearm of any size and made to be worn with any attire, from shorts and a t-shirt to a suit and a tie. Based on your personal carry style, the Super Tuck may be worn comfortably with or without your shirt tucked in. Find out why the Crossbreed Super Tuck is the most often imitated but never duplicated holster design in the world. Visit CrossbreedHolsters.com today.
The Second Amendment Foundation has grown into what many believe to be the most important gun rights organization in America. With hundreds of thousands of active members, it is the Second Amendment Foundation defending your rights in courtrooms across the nation. Winning these battles in local jurisdictions all the way to the Supreme Court requires tireless effort and help from you. Please help the Second Amendment Foundation defend your freedoms by joining or donating today at saf.org. Join us at saf.org. Thank you.
Hi, it's Mark, and I have a plea for help. Gun-hating billionaire Michael Bloomberg is up to his bag of tricks by funding studies designed to fool the American public into thinking your guns cause crime. As expected, the media plays right along. Unfortunately for him, John Lott and the Crime Prevention Research Center does the real research to measure the true impact of guns on crime. But we need your help to do it. Please donate today to help John and the CPRC get the truth out. Visit crimeresearch.org, crimeresearch.org to donate. Crimeresearch.org. Thank you.
This is Armed American Radio, filling your prescription for freedom every week and giving you a voice. Heard coast to coast on the Armed American Radio Network. Here again is Mark Walters.
Sitting in the Crossbreed Holster Studios, very quickly, I need to send you over to USCCAOnAir.com. Check out Tim Schmidt, the founder's new book, Guns, Freedom, and the American Dream. You get about $33.97 off, about 60%, save 61%, 62%, something like that, if you do the math right. Because it also includes with the book, the hardcover book, If It's To Be, It's Up To Me. It's an Emmy Award-nominated USCCA documentary movie. The entire package is $22. It won't be there for long. I think you've got, well, you do, you have 5 days, 1 hour, 11 minutes, and 10 seconds from the sound of my voice right now if you're listening to me live. If you're picking it up on podcast, head over to USCCAOnAir.com and check out how much time you have on that $22 deal. It's a phenomenal piece. I read the raw manuscript before it was even edited. It literally was raw, and it's now in its published form, and I'm waiting for my signed copy. I can't wait to get it and see how it came out after it was cleaned up a little bit. Just an amazing piece by Tim Schmidt. USCCA on Air, Guns, Freedom, and the American Dream. Right up your alley as an AAR listener. Trust me on that one. All right, let's go back to Chicago. 9-year-old boy viciously murdered in cold blood. Gang retaliation, law enforcement, the city leaders know what it was. The father is silent. The gun prohibitionists, the un-Americans, are silent. Where the hell are they? And very quickly before I go to David and then Neil, November 2015, updated homicide report out of Chicago. On Friday, when I talked about this or touched on this briefly, it may have been Thursday, there were 3 homicides. There are now 9. And interestingly, number 27 for the month of October is Reginald Gildersleeve. He was the 27th homicide in Chicago in October at the end of the month. Reginald Gildersleeve. Reginald Gildersleeve is the individual who was killed robbing the Mexicana market that we were talking about by the CCW permit holder in Chicago. He is listed as number 27. I thought that was an interesting twist. But there are now 9 homicides, the last 3 unidentified. That number is higher today. The Tribune will get to printing it. We'll probably update you tomorrow. David Kodria, if they gave a damn about gun violence, they'd have offices and corporate headquarters in Chicago, Baltimore, Detroit, now New York under progressive Democrat, socialist, liberal leader de Blasio, and Los Angeles. Please, David, shed some light on why these people aren't there.
Probably for the same reason that a lot of activists who like to attack Christians never seem to attack religions where it's more dangerous, and they've actually come out and admitted as much. You know, you never see Shannon and her moms out there protesting in the middle of MS-13 territory, do you?
No, and interestingly, moms, this is where I went Friday, I'll take it there now, a 9-year-old slaughtered, led to his death. Where are the moms? This is the one crime they should be screaming about and marching on in Chicago, and they're not. Neil, please, you help me here.
Yeah, well, you know, they talk about using the sort of RICO and anti-organized crime laws to go after gun manufacturers. How about using RICO and anti-organized crime laws to go after organized crime and gangs? I mean, conceivably, like, we've heard stuff before about, you know, the suing the gun manufacturers. You're really going to blame a gun manufacturer for the death of this 9-year-old? I mean, it's so crazy how they extrapolate this stuff. How about cleaning up the gangs? I mean, that might work.
Well, you know, Neil, actually, yeah, that is what they want to do. And what that does, David Kodry, is proves yet again what their true intention is. You know, we could go on and on and on with example after example after example about these people coming after law-abiding Americans, embracing every kooky, dopey gun control law that's ever been proposed in any state legislature or Congress, including the one you just mentioned about the ridiculous $100 tax per gun purchase, knowing full good and well that it isn't ever going to see the light of committee, let alone reach the floor in a Republican-controlled chamber, either chamber. It just simply isn't going to happen. But it gets the press.
It gets the press and it gets the votes. And it's all kabuki theater because it's there basically just to put on the show and get the ink. And again, another analogy, if I may. My sister just recently flew my 91-year-old mother out to Phoenix.
God bless her.
And she went and got the entire TSA physical examination because she had knee replacement surgery, and that set off the alarm. So they were afraid she was going to, you know, take over the plane and fly it into some towers somewhere. Meanwhile, the former director of the CIA was just interviewed, and he said that baggage handlers, including at Phoenix Airport, are immigrants who have green cards who are vetted the same way they do agricultural workers, and they don't go through heightened scrutiny. Okay?
Incredible.
So it's all kabuki theater.
Kabuki theater is a good way to put it. We're moving from subject to subject because time is of the essence now. David, I'm going to go back to you, and then we'll let Neil close this out. We've got about 2 minutes, 3 minutes before we have to close it. Official news media not covering or even mentioning the Illinois Supreme Court case. Take it away, David.
Actually, it's in front of the United States Supreme Court case. This is the so-called assault weapons ban by the city of Highland Park that's being challenged. It's the petition to hear it is in front of the Supreme Court. They have now delayed it 4 times. It goes from conference to conference to conference. We don't know if they're going to hear it or if they're going to reject it. The fact that it's gone on for 4 different conferences with no resolution says that some of the justices are interested in hearing it, and yet I wrote about it on Friday. You and I were talking about this. We were hoping we would be able to report on a decision right to hear it or not. That has not been forthcoming. There is nothing in the media aside from the piece that I wrote on Ammo Land and aside from some blurbs on SCOTUS blog. And this is something that this decision, Mark, has the capability of tearing this country apart. And it's not newsworthy.
It is newsworthy. It absolutely is newsworthy, but it isn't newsworthy when it doesn't fit their agenda and their narrative. They're scared of this story. They don't want to talk about it until they can report something negative about our position. Neil, there's no guarantee they're going to take it. Go ahead. We've got a couple minutes left.
Well, right now there is a pro-gun rights majority in the Supreme Court, but don't look for that to be forever. You have a Justice Sotomayor who doesn't even believe the Second Amendment guarantees any kind of rights for guns. So it's a very tricky situation as we go into 2016. If we get a Democrat in the White House to succeed Obama, I would look for a very vicious shift in the Supreme Court, and gun rights would be in severe jeopardy.
The United States Senate will hold the key to that. And there is absolutely no indication that the United States Senate under Republican control, including Ryan, has a backbone, no spine. We don't know it, not under Ryan, but under Mitch McConnell in the House under Ryan. No spine in either chamber. Wow, great program today. David Kodria, thank you very much for being here. Neil McCabe, as usual, guys, we'll get up and do it again tomorrow, and we'll do it again next week. Thanks to John Lott. Thanks to Alan Gottlieb. Thanks to John Monroe. It's been a huge program. Remember, carry on, carry often, carry absolutely everywhere. Never leave your cave without your club, and never let there be a gun-free zone wherever you happen to be. I'm going to see you right back here tomorrow on Armed American Radio's Daily Defense. Have a great day, and I'll see you tomorrow. We'll do it all again.
You've been listening to Armed American Radio Network with your host, Mark Walters. Armed American Radio, brought to you each week by the United States Concealed Carry Association. To learn more about Armed American Radio, log on to armedamericanradio.org. Here I come again now, baby. I can tell you.